The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
Bring Parshas Shmot, and I would like to further explore the verses starting at 23 chapter 2. Now, the reason why I continue to feel obligated to harp on this point, because in these few verses are really the secret of redemption. And without really understanding this, we really can't understand what all of Shmot is all about. I can only say I've worked hours and hours, including till 12 o'clock last night, trying to, including not being able to sleep for another 3 hours thinking about this, because this is really crucial to really understand what's going on over here and see the play in the names of God. Because over here, I mean, until now, our whole approach is being very sensitive to the names of God. And over here, we see such a play of names that are going on and a switch from this name to that name that if we do not really read it carefully, we might really lose the root upon which everything of Shmot is growing out of. So, to make it a little easier, just a quick clarification of the meaning of Hashem's oneness and the various implications of it, and how we've seen those implications, and really this is one of the crucial implications. Now, the basic theme that we have chosen to explore the Chumash is based on the idea of the revelation of Hashem's oneness, which is what we said, what the Ramchal said, is the purpose of creation, which is clearly the essence of Judaism, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Now, until now, we've recognized that the meaning of Hashem's oneness is His ability to create a being other than Himself and offer that being a status of divinity. That ultimately God, as Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, which means there is nothing but God, it is in His omnipotence that He's able to create a being and relate to that being as an Elohim. That God relates to that being as an Elohim, and God as an Elohim relates to that being also as an Elohim, meaning that that being also has a quality of divinity, right? Meaning that the human being's choices make a major difference in the cosmic theme. So Hashem has offered the people a covenant. Offered Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov a covenant that there is a relationship. And the only way you can have a relationship with God is if you had a certain sense of self, a certain divine status upon which you could stand before Hashem and enjoy such a relationship. Now that has been the ongoing theme by the Avot. The revelation of God's oneness in terms of the Avot is the revelation of the possibility for relationship with Hashem and yet the sense of oneness with Hashem as it develops towards the completeness that Yaakov is able to maintain in his life, which is a sense of self and yet a sense of surrender. A sense of self because Hashem is an Elohim, a sense of surrender because Hashem is a Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And it's really Yaakov who really knows the secret of redemption, and the Zohar says it's in the merit of Yaakov that we are redeemed. We know that we learned before that it's in the merit of Yitzchak that in the great day of judgment we will come out of judgment because of the strength of Yitzchak in his acceptance of judgment. But it does say in the Zohar that it's in the merit of Yaakov that we are redeemed. Geula comes through Yaakov. Because it is Yaakov that really comes to the final comprehension and embodies the meaning of Shem's oneness in his own life. And that kind of oneness is the secret of redemption that only Yaakov really knows. So, we then moved into the stories of Yosef. Or even before we get to the stories of Yosef, one of the implications of God's oneness is that man has choice and that there exists a relation between God and man. Man must realize that God's oneness is represented through man's own realization of his sense of self and yet surrender. But another implication in the drama of divine oneness is that there is only one domain. And no matter what choice you do in fact make, recognize that that choice will serve the plan of Hashem. And that color in the divine oneness, so to speak, is expressed through the choices of Yosef's brothers, right? And it's Yaakov, through his fight with the angel of Esav, he is able to derive a bracha from the angel of Esav, and therefore the divine oneness is manifest in that even the forces against you, not only your choices, but the forces against you are actually also contributing to Hashem's plan, even the forces against God is contributing to Hashem's plan. And then we saw Yosef in Egypt, and we see the snake has become a holy servant, and the snake, in fact, is intentionally helping Yosef, and all of Egypt, which is the symbol of the snake, are mourning the death of Yaakov. Okay? And then we get to the stories of Shemot, which takes the divine oneness and its implication to another step, which is not only does the snake help you, but everything the snake will do against you, right, will only help you. Okay? So again, we see that implication. And the next implication of divine oneness is redemption, which means that even if you're unworthy, you will be redeemed. Because the name Elohim means you have choice. And it's really the compassion of God that He allows a human being choice, relates to that choice, enables you the experience of getting what you deserve. That's actually an attribute of chesed. That din, judgment itself, is an expression of chesed. Right? It's an element of chesed. The kindness of God is that He gives you a sense of self, a sense of choice, a sense of consequence, and the possibility to get what you deserve, right? And to be, to a certain extent, a master of your fate, right? And a certain possibility to, so to speak, create yourself. Enjoy a sense of independence like God, like an Elohim. So, even though the name Elohim suggests you have choice, there are consequences to your choice, the name Elohim would then mean that you might not be redeemed. Because you might not ever merit to be redeemed. Because from the attribute of judgment, you don't deserve it. Because based on your choices, you are unworthy. But because God is one, and because God is a Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei Elohim, and because His judgment of you is really an element, an aspect of His compassion, and the goal is God's compassion and love for man, and God's love for man itself is the expression of God's oneness, therefore, you will even be redeemed if you're unworthy. Okay, and that's how this fits in. Because the story of redemption is the story about a Jewish people who are being redeemed even though they do not deserve it. And how is that possible? Okay? How is that possible? That's possible because Hashem is one. Everything we're seeing in the Chumash are only details in the unfolding manifestation of divine truth. And the particular detail in that divine drama of oneness that's being clarified here is that redemption will be even if you don't deserve it. Right? Even if you don't deserve it, you will be redeemed. Why? Because you are one with God. And God is one with you. And therefore, if you don't deserve to be redeemed, on the merit of the fact that you are one with God, God will redeem you because His presence is with you. Because there is an element of godliness that fills you. And this is what Yaakov understood in the last parsha of Yechi. When Yaakov blessed his sons, one of the verses he says, "Ki li yeshuatcha kivita Hashem," for your salvation I hope for, which means that I recognize that it's not our salvation, but it's Yaakov who's able to understand that the Jewish people will be redeemed because the redemption of the Jewish people is, so to speak, the redemption of God. just as a father loves their child, right? And even if your child doesn't deserve it, you will redeem your child. Why? Because your child is so much part of you, because so much of yourself is bound up with that child, then the merit of that alone, your compassion will override your judgment and you will redeem them. And how could your compassion override your judgment? Because your judgment is only a detail in your compassion. The only reason that you brought about the attribute of judgment upon the people is because of your great compassion, your great love, to give them a sense of self, to give them a sense of choice, to give them a possibility for self, for being self-created. But you have to recognize, and that's the amazing thing over here, that in Judaism, Midat Hadin, the attribute of judgment, is subservient to Midat HaChesed and Midat HaRachmi. Because the din is only a detail in God's love for the Jewish people. Now with that introduction, it'll become, I think, clearer when we now read the Pesukim very carefully. So let's start verse 23. Yeah.
Are we redeemed because of Judaism?
No, you were redeemed because you have effectualized a oneness with God.
Because I'm a Jew.
Well, that's why you're a Jew. Because your forefathers have effectualized an understanding of God's oneness by accepting covenant. V'bayamim harabim hahem. And was in those many days, verse 23, V'yamat melech Mitzrayim, and the king of Egypt died, V'enchu b'nei Yisrael min avodah. And the sons of Israel sighed from the work, V'zaku, and they cried out, V'tal shavatam ela Elohim. And their prayer ascended to Elohim, mina avodah, from the work. Now this is very important, because we see mina avodah written twice. So it was in those many days that the Jewish people sighed from the work. Right? It was hard work. And they were in pain. Excruciating pain. Yidzaku. And they called out, Vita'al Shavatam, and their prayer ascended to Hashem, but it ascended to which name of God, so to speak? Ha-Elohim. Now remember, the name of God, Elohim, is an understanding of God in His din, in His judgment. Okay? And this prayer ascended to Elohim, which is God, the judge, Mina Avodah, from the work. Now what does that mean, from the work? It just said that they had sighed from the work. So why do you say, and their prayers ascended to Elohim from the work? But it just said from the work, so why would it say again from the work? Well, one of the understandings is their prayer ascended from their oppression. Not from their merit to be redeemed. Not because they should be redeemed, but because they were being oppressed so much that their prayer for salvation was only a function of their incredible oppression and not a function of their readiness to be redeemed. You see the difference, right? There's a difference between being ready to be redeemed and their being oppressed too much. Okay? And therefore, Elohim, the judge, heard their cry, but their cry was heard by the judge only because of the oppression. Which we could then say, well, why is God listening? Because the fundamental idea is, the truth is, they are not befitting to be redeemed. The Ramban says, why does it have so many reasons over here? Why does it have to say, and God heard their prayer? And God remembered His covenant. And God saw. And God knew. Why do you have all these reasons? And even when God reveals Himself to Moshe and brings, well, I heard their sighs, I heard their this, I heard their that. Not one time did God say, it's time for the redemption. My sweet children, they're wonderful. They did tshuva. The Rambam says the fact that it says so many reasons for the purpose of the redemption itself is a proof that they were not worthy to be redeemed. And in fact, we brought in the Gemara the other day from the Yishalmi, Gemara Tainis, that say there were five reasons that the Jewish people were redeemed. And they're all hinted here. One of the reasons is because the time had come. Another reason is because of the pain and the affliction. Another reason is because of their sighing. Right? And another reason is because of their tshuva. Now, why do you need five reasons to redeem them? And if one of the reasons is they did tshuva, so you redeem them because of tshuva. Or the Ramban is really quite in line with the Gemara. That they're being redeemed is like a combination of reasons to bring about something that really they are not worthy to be redeemed of. So they did a little tshuva, right? And the Torah Tamima says, well, there were those who thought to do tshuva, and then there were the Beinanim who like tried to do tshuva, right? And that's what it means. God saw and God understood, meaning God understood that tshuva, the good intentions to do tshuva. But the truth is, the fact that the Gemara is using so many reasons for the redemption itself is a sign that they were not worthy to be redeemed, and it took five reasons to redeem them, to come up with some kind of concoction to say, okay, we'll let them out. Right? And the Ramban says, there are different opinions. The Ramban's opinion is, even though the time had come, the Gemara said the time had come, now we know how could their time come when they were supposed to be enslaved for 400 years and this is only 210, so there's an opinion that says really the 400 years starts with Yitzchak. Right? When Yitzchak was born, right, and he began that feeling of affliction, so it started 400 years. So the Ramban's approach is, in fact, 400 years are up, and even though the destined time had come, they were unworthy. And therefore, when the Gemara says, and within those many days, and the Gemara says that means the destined time had come. So if the destined time had come, why do you need the reason of tshuva? Why do you need the merit of the forefathers? Why do you need their prayer? Why do you need their affliction? Because the fact is, from mitzad hadin, in terms of the attribute of judgment, they did not deserve to be redeemed. So therefore, Elohim heard their cry from their work. And we could say that God as a judge, but as a judge of the Egyptians who were oppressing the Jewish people more than was really rightfully so. They had gone way beyond even the decree that God had brought upon the Jewish people. So we could say that why is the name Elohim here? Because God as a judge heard their cry from their affliction, not from their tshuva. Not from their redemption, but from their oppression. God is a judge, not of the Jewish people, but God is a judge of the Egyptians. And then it says, Vishma Elohim, and God the judge heard their sighing. Right? Vizkar Elohim et Brito, and he remembered his covenant. Meaning, in and of themselves, the judge says, sorry, I hear your calling, but the only way to bring about redemption is that Elohim then remembers the covenant with the forefathers. Right? Now, what does it mean that Elohim remembers the covenant of the forefathers? What is the meaning of the covenant of the forefathers? The meaning of the covenant of the forefathers is God, as Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, saying to Abraham, and I shall be unto you an Elohim. Which means I will give you a sense of self. I will impart to you divine significance and choice. The possibility for relationship, the possibility to be judged is a product of my kindness and compassion to give you that sense of stature. So Elohim, which is the attribute of judgment, remembers the covenant which was made in the name of who? Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. That the covenant is an expression of God's compassion and love for mankind. And therefore, Elohim, the God as a judge, remembers the covenant, which means that I am a judge because I am a lover. I am a judge because I am a lover. that the covenant and relating to the Jewish people through judgment, which is according to their merit, according to their choices, is only an expression of my compassion. So then it says that God remembered the zchut of the forefathers. And Elohim remembers the brit, which is, so to speak, Elohim remembering, so to speak, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Because that's what covenant is a function of. V'yar Elohim, and Elohim saw the children of Israel, V'yedai Elohim. Now it says, and God looked at them, and He knew them. They have to also appreciate, in a very deep way, the implications of Elohim. Because the implications of Elohim means that you are independent, there is multiplicity in the world, you have a choice. But why do you have a choice? Because God, as an Elohim, has imparted to you divine significance. So the name Elohim also means, I am with you in your suffering. Because the name Elohim means that God has imparted to the human being divinity. That God has become immanent within the human being so that God could then have a relationship with the human being. So when God judges man, that has two significances. Number one, it means that God is separate of man and that man now can enjoy a certain independent content, but that God has given to man divine content, so that man's choices really mean something. And therefore, when it says, and Elohim saw, and Rashi says, and God really looked at their pain, and God knew, we know that the word knew means to be intimately involved. Right? Yada. That's what yada means. Yada is not simply knowledge, but it's an intimate understanding. And therefore, we have over here, all the way down the line, the name Elohim, which means that from Midas Hadin, the Jewish people are not really worthy to be redeemed. And God as a judge is judging the Egyptians. God as a judge is remembering the covenant, which means that my judgmental attribute really is only an expression of my compassion and my love, my brit, and therefore should be subservient to my compassion, even though you're unworthy, and from a judge point of view, you should not be redeemed, but since the judge is only expression of the lover, right, then the judge will, so to speak, bend to the attribute of compassion. And that God, in the name of Elohim, also means that the divine is immanent within the human being and is included within their pain. And therefore, God, as an Elohim, who is a judge, also means that there is an element of divinity within the human being and that God also empathizes with their suffering. That therefore, the Jewish people, in and of themselves, do not deserve redemption. But redemption is coming because of the judge against the Egyptians, because of the covenant which is Elohim recognizing Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, so to speak, and because God Himself, so to speak, knows their pain intimately, and therefore, for His own sake, so to speak, will redeem them. Now, the next verse, Umoshe Haya Ro'eth Etzon, and right after it says that God has heard their prayer, has related, says, and Moshe was tending his sheep, and he gets to Har Elohim, and he gets to the mountain of Elohim. Now why is Sinai the mountain of Elohim? Somehow he ended up in the place where Torah would be given. Because God giving the Torah means I shall be unto you an Elohim. Means I will give you the possibility for personal merit. I will give you the possibility to make choices in establishing your relationship with me. And that was the first words God says at Sinai. Anochi Hashem Elokechem. Elokecha, actually. I am God, your God. The God that will relate to your deeds, that will give significance to your deeds, and you will deserve according to merit and enjoy the experience of being like an Elohim, right? Creator of your future, creator of your status. Let's watch very carefully. So here is Moshe at Har Elohim. And Har Elohim means you get what you deserve, that God gives you a Torah and mitzvahs, and means that you can do something, right? And that will have significance, and that will bring about your personal redemption, and God will relate to you because you can relate to Hashem, because to you there is a divine content which enables you to relate to Hashem. Okay. So he's at the Har Elohim, and what does he see? V'yera malach yudke vavke elav. And an angel, a messenger of Yudke Vavke, appears to him. You see this? Who is going to tell Moshe to redeem the Jewish people? It is Yudke Vavke, God the lover, compassion. God who is one, and therefore the Jewish people are still one with God. And Malach Hashem, the messenger of Hashem, I believe is Elohim. Is Elohim. Because the name Elohim is really only a messenger for the name Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. Because God, relating to the human being in the through the attribute of judgment, is only doing the mission of God the lover. And out of love for your child, you tell them that they will have consequences. Out of love for your child, you punish your child. Because your love for them wants to build their sense of self, their identity. Right? But sometimes your love will override your din, because your din was only itself a servant for your love. And therefore, even though you punish your child, and you're punishing your child, you're behaving in the manner of judge, is an aspect of your loving your child, but sometimes, when your child doesn't deserve it, right, you still override your judgment. And how can you do that? Because your judgment all along was subservient and only a messenger for your love. And therefore, sometimes you even override your punishment over your child and say, even though you don't deserve it, I will still redeem you because we are one. So it is a malach of Yudkei Vavkei that reveals himself to Moshe from a burning bush. And we learned the other day, why a burning bush? So the Midrash says to suggest to Moshe that I am with the Jewish people in their suffering, and that's why I am redeeming them. Because I am with them in their suffering. When a parent redeems their child, it's because they are also with them in their suffering, and to redeem your child is like to redeem yourself. Because even though you judge your child and demonstrate that there is an independent reality, you still love your child because, in fact, there still remains a complete unity. And their redemption is your redemption. So God reveals himself in a bush, which itself is a testimony that I am with them in their suffering. Now, verse 4. V'yir Hashem Kisar Li wrote, and Yudkei Vavkei saw that he was coming, so to speak. V'yikra Alav Elohim Mitoch Hasneh. And Elohim called out to him from within the burning bush. Moshe, Moshe. Now, remember the name Elohim has two implications. It means God is a judge, and you are responsible for your actions, but also means that God is imminent, that there's an element of godliness within you, because if there wasn't, then your actions wouldn't mean anything, right? And therefore, God as an Elohim speaks from within the bush, the burning bush, suggesting that it is my imminent divinity, my Shekhinah, that is with them in their suffering,
And he calls out to Moshe. He says, don't come close, take off your shoes, whatever. And let's go to verse 6. V'yomer anochi Elohei avicha, I am the God of your father, Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak, V'Elohei Yaakov. V'yester Moshe panav kirei mehebit el Elohim. And Moshe hid his face because he was frightened to look directly at Elohim. Why was he frightened to look directly at Elohim? Because he is unworthy. Who am I to look directly at God? Who am I to suggest that I could have that kind of direct relation with Hashem and know God as an Elohim, and that itself reflects that there's an element of godliness within me? So, at the very beginning of his encounter with Hashem, Moshe demonstrates in his behavior that he feels unworthy. V'yomer Hashem. Who is speaking? It is the God of compassion. The God who is one, and therefore the Jewish people are one with God. Ra'o ra'iti et ani ami. I have seen the affliction of my people. God didn't say, I saw their tshuva. I saw their good acts. I saw their ready. God said, I saw the affliction of my people. Asher b'mitzrayim, that are in Egypt. V'etzakatam shemati, and their calling out I heard, mipneg nogshav, because of their oppressors, not because of them, but I am hearing their prayer because of their oppressors. Ki yadati et michalam, because I know their pain intimately. Okay, and that verse just confirms the way we interpreted the earlier verses. That why am I redeeming them? I, as Yudkei Vavkei, am redeeming them because I have heard their affliction. They're my people. I'm hearing their affliction. And I've heard their cry because of their oppressors who are too much already. And I know their pain intimately. I share in their pain. Right? Because my Shekhin is with them. Anochi imo b'tzarai. I'm with them with their pain. They're red, and therefore I will go down, Latzilo, to save him, Miyad Mitzrayim. I will come to save him from the hands of Egypt, and bring him up to the land of Israel. But you see, the fact that these two names are becoming interchangeable itself is the demonstration of Hashem's oneness. Right? That Elohim is only a malach, Yudkei Vavkei. Elohim, the attribute of judgment, is only, so to speak, a messenger for the ultimate attribute of Hashem, which is Yudkei Vavkei, which is His compassion, which is His all-encompassing oneness. So, and now I have heard their voice, now their cry of the Bnei Yisrael has come to me, and I have seen their pressure of Egypt that are pressuring them. There's no place here that says that they did tshuva. There's no place here that's saying they were worthy. There's no place that says, and the time has come for their redemption. Right? Because redemption out of Egypt was not based on their worthiness, but rather it was God as lover overriding His attribute of din. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu, God is our judge, however, the lover is our judge, however, Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And yet the judge is our lover. And therefore, the midah of Elohim is subservient to the midah of Yudkei Vavkei and will override Elohim. So then it says, V'ata lecha v'eshlecha el paro v'otei et ami b'nei Yisrael. And therefore, I'm sending you to Paro, and you're going to take out my nation, the sons of Israel, from Egypt. Okay? Because they're my nation. And Yechezkel, the prophet Yechezkel, chapter 20, between verses 6 and 10, says over there, right, in the name of God, that I wanted you to throw out the abominations and you were not willing, and why did I, and I thought I would just leave you there, but I redeemed you for my name's sake, which only confirms, and the Ramban brings down that Yechezkel. Okay, so now, V'yomer Moshe Elohim, and Moshe speaks to Elohim, the judge,
And he says, Mi anochi ki elecho paro. What is my worthiness? I am unworthy. You, as a judge, should recognize I am unworthy. V'kiyotziyat b'nei Yisrael, and that I should take out b'nei Yisrael. You, as a judge, of course, should recognize that the Jewish people are unworthy. Right? What is their schut? Rashi brings down. What is their worthiness? V'yomer, and God said, ki yeimach. You're right. You're not worthy. Who said you're worthy? Right? You're going down because I will be with you. That's why you're going down. It's not based on your worthiness. Right? It's based on my worthiness. That I will be with you. V'zelecha ot. And this will be a sign, either referring to the burning bush, meaning that the burning bush, which was this low, unworthy bush, is going to facilitate the manifestation and play out the message and mission of God. You are like this burning bush. You're right, you're not worthy. But even though you're not worthy, I will reveal myself through you, that itself the greatest manifestation of Hashem's oneness. Right? That even he was unworthy can become an accommodation for the divine mission. Or you could say, V'zelecha ot, and this will be a sign, Ki enochi shlachticha bo'tzicha et ha'am mimitzrayim tavdun et ha'elohim. That what is the merit? Rashi brings down two pshats. One pshat is they don't merit it, and it's because I have something in it for me, that they will come and serve me in the mountain, therefore there is significance not of their worthiness, but of my worthiness. And Rashi brings the second shot, that their worthiness is the future. That even though right now they don't deserve it, right, but they'll pay later. Right? That I will redeem them on credit, so to speak, and they will pay later because I know that they'll go to the mountain and they'll say Nasa v'nishma, and they'll receive the Torah, and they will merit the redemption. Now this is a fundamental idea in the idea of Pesach and Shavuot. Because Pesach is the Jewish people redeemed without any merit. And the 50 days from Pesach Shavuot and the counting of the Omer is now meriting the redemption through your tshuva and then accepting the Torah. That's the relationship between Pesach and Shavuot. That Pesach was a redemption without merit, and the 50 days, why did it take 50 days? That God now gave them the opportunity to retroactively merit the redemption of Egypt, from Egypt, through their avoda during the 50 days to Mekabel Torah. And therefore, God is saying, right now they don't merit it. Right? And Moshe is saying, God, Elohim, judge. From a judge point of view, I don't merit it. From a judge point of view, they don't merit it. And God says, you're right. Right? And one answer is, you're right, they don't merit it. Right? But I merit it. Because they are my children. And I am bound up with them and they are bound up with me. Or, they don't merit it now, but they will merit it. V'yomer Moshe Elo Elohim. Moshe says to, again, God is a judge. Hine enochi ba'al b'nei. Yisrael v'amarti lahem, Elohei avotechem shalchani, aleichem v'amru li mashmo, ma'omer lahem. When I go there, they're going to say, I'm going to say, well, the God of Elohei, the God of your forefathers, has sent me to bring you out. And they'll say, what's his name? Well, what should I say? Now this is what kind of question is that? What should I say? And God answers is, v'yom Elohim, and Elohim, the judge, says, I will be as I will be. Now what does it mean, I will be as I will be? Now one understanding of I will be as I will be means I will be in there. The Gemara in Brachot says, Ani iti imachem b'shibudzeh, I was with you in this servitude, and I will be with you in the next servitude. So therefore, his answer is, why should we be redeemed? And God's answer is, because I am with you. Because my Shekhinah is with you. Because I am bound up with you, because there has been a covenant between me and your forefathers, and their eye is included in my divine you, and therefore, in a manner of speaking, their redemption is my own redemption. So what does it mean the Jewish people will say, well, who sent you? What should I say? What's the question to the Jewish people? Well, we could say the question to the Jewish people is, who sent you? We don't deserve it. Right? What did we do to deserve redemption? Right? We didn't really do any big tshuva. Why should we zoche? Why should we merit to get out? The same kind of question Moshe's asking. And the answer is, you're right. You don't merit it. You don't merit it all. But I will be with you just as I am with you in this redemption. I will, in this servitude, I will be with you in the next servitude. Right? Which is, I am with you. And I'm always with you. And therefore, your redemption is not your merit. Something that is so hard to understand. Because what we're learning over here is what's called the unconditional love of God for the Jewish people. This is what Yaakov is able to understand. When we pray every day, if you'll notice, in Shemona Esrei, you pray, we are praying for your salvation. Because at that point, we recognize the unconditional love, the oneness the Jewish people share with God, and therefore, it's only that kind of understanding that even though we don't deserve it, and you know, you stand in front of your father and your mother and say, I don't deserve it. So, how am I asking you? How am I able even to ask you? Because I have to recognize that you're my father and mother and there is still unconditional love. And that you have cultivated me in a manner to understand that I should deserve something and I should work towards deserving something. But that itself was only an element of, an attribute of your love for me. And that sometimes you can even go past that. And this is something that they're learning here. On a national level, they are learning what Yaakov understood. Ki lishuatcha kiviti Hashem is now being imbued in the Jewish people to recognize, Moshe has to recognize and they have to recognize, that even if we don't deserve it, right, even if the entire Jewish people are going to be on such a low level and completely rebel against the word of God and never want to keep a Shabbos in their lives, right, you cannot give up on the rest of the Jewish people or on yourself in those times of low when you realize your unworthiness, because it's at that very point that you can again testify, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And then there's ability to go past the din and plug into an attribute which goes beyond din, which is the attribute of God's love and God's connectiveness to the Jewish people. So that's one understanding of the name Ehyeh. But another understanding I saw from the Lublina Rebbe, that the name Ehyeh is connected to the name Tshuva. Which is, the word Ehyeh means, I will be. Tshuva, repentance. And the name, Ekyeh, which is the name that God is, Elohim, is saying, what's my name? Right? Don't you know, I'm an undercover agent for Ekyeh? I, as Elohim, I, in the guise of judge, am only an undercover agent, right, for the God of Ekyeh, right? My real name is Ekyeh, which means I am with you. I am bound up with you. And that I am Ekyeh, so Rabbeinu Bechaya says that the name Ekyeh is written here three times to show you that for God, time is always in the present. That the past and the future are always now. And therefore, based on what merit now are we going to be redeemed? God says, it's not based on the now, it's based on the future. But for me, the past and the future are now. Therefore, I can redeem you based on what you will be in the future. Now remember, God as an Elohim judges you and judges you based on the now. But it's precisely God as Elohim that says that my name is Ekyeh and that I can transcend the now and judge you based on your future. And what was your future? The future which was just mentioned here, that in the future you will go to Sinai and through your, I'll be willing to redeem you on credit and you can pay later. Because this is the attribute of Hashem's love. And therefore the Jewish people do not understand themselves why they should be redeemed. And this itself is the great revelation. And Moshe says, they're going to ask me, why should we be redeemed? I mean, who's redeeming us? Elohim? We don't deserve it. Right? We don't deserve it. So the answer is, you tell them that my name is Ekya, which means I am with you in your suffering. And therefore, it's not in your merit, it's so to speak my merit. It's not your redemption, it's my redemption. And also, V'yomer od Elohim, and Elohim also said to Moshe, Kotamar, this is what you should say to Bnei Yisrael, Hashem Elokei Avotechem. Do you see this? Elohim will introduce himself as Yudkei Vavkei. Right? And all this, the fact that God, as Elohim, is so to speak introducing himself as Yudkei Vavkei, is the greatest manifestation of Hashem's oneness. The greatest manifestation of Hashem's oneness. So, Elohim, verse 15. V'yomer od Elohim, and Elohim said to Moshe, Kotomaro b'nei Yisrael, such you should say to b'nei Yisrael, Yudke vavke Elohei avotechem, Elohei Avram, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, Shalcheini Alechem. Right? You know who sent me? So Elohim is telling him, what you have here are three very important names of God in one place. Yudke vavke, Elohim, and Ekya. Right? And Elohim is being revealed as Ekya, one and the same, the God, the judge of the moment, is the judge, but is also the empathizing divine that is with you. And Elohim, the judge of the moment, is also Yudke Vavke. And therefore the judge is only the compassionate one. And so he says, and Elohim says to Moshe, Yudke Vavke, tell them, Kotomar, right? In these very words, say to them, El Bnei Yisrael, Yudke Vavke Elohke Avotechem. Recognize the unification of Hashem's name. If you recognize the unification of Hashem's name, you will understand that all the evil forces will serve God. If you recognize the unification of Hashem's name, you will recognize that your choices, whether they are right or wrong, will still serve God's means. And if you recognize the Yichud Hashem, the oneness of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei Elohim, you will recognize that even if you don't deserve it, you still can be redeemed. And this is what they have to recognize. Right? Because that is the greatest testimony of God's oneness, which is His unconditional love. And therefore, Elohim introduces, so to speak, the Yichud of Yudkei Vavkei Elohim. It says, my name is Yudkei Vavkei Elohim Avotechem. And we have a very important piece over here. Zeh Shmi Le'olam. This is my name forever. V'zeh Zichri Lador Dor. And this is my mentioning from generation to generation. Now it's here that the Gemara learns out that whenever you see the name Yudke Vavke, you say Adonai. Which is really quite a strange thing that Jews do. They have this name, which means Yudke Vavke. And you know, there are certain people that try to pronounce that name, they call themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. Because for some strange reason they think the Yud is a Jod. I don't know where they got that from, maybe from Mexico. But the Yud is a Jod, and they try to pronounce the name Yud-Ke Vav-Ke, according to its lettering. Right? When we were in Hebrew school, right, if we wanted to upset our Hebrew teacher, we would pronounce that name. Right? That would really anger them. Right? However, it is a really strange thing to have a name of God that you never pronounce according to its lettering, but you say something completely different. And we learn it from here. The Gemara right here says, Zeh Shmi Le'olam, this is my name forever, but the word Le'olam is spelt without a Vav. And therefore, le'olam means this is my name to be concealed, le'elem. The word olam means concealment. Okay? And therefore, the Gemara learns from here, this is my name to be concealed, and this is my mentioning. And orally, God told him how to say Yudke Vavke, which is say Adonai. Right? God taught Moshe, this is how you will call me. Now, what is this all doing here? This is one of the most important pieces in the entire Chumash in terms of a fundamental scene in the divine drama, the drama of God's oneness. That the Gemara says in Yerushalmi, Yoma, chapter 3, halacha 7, that when the Kohen Gadol used to say God's name on Yom Kippur, he used to pronounce the name according to the way it's written. Only on Yom Kippur was he allowed to do that. And what would happen? Everybody would hear the name. I mean, everyone was able to hear the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, articulate the name according to the way it's supposed to be pronounced. Right? And the way you would read it is not the way it's supposed to be pronounced either. Really knowing the vocalization of that name. And it was on Yom Kippur, that day of tshuva. And nobody left the Beis HaMikdash area until they forgot the name. Right? How to vocalize it. They all walked out. Now what does this have to do with Yom Kippur? And the Gemara in Kiddushin says that I am written Yud-Kay, but I am pronounced Aleph Dalid. And the fundamental principle in this world, the Midrash says, I am written Yud-Kay, but I am pronounced Aleph Dalid, but in the next world I will be pronounced Yud-Kay also. Right. I'm written Yud-Kay, but I'm read Aleph Dalet. In the future, I will be written Yud-Kay, and I'll be read Yud-Kay. Because what's going on here is on the level of Yom Kippur. What's going here is on the level of Olam Haba. Because what is Yom Kippur all about? It's all about tshuva. And it means that even though you don't deserve it, because how could you deserve it? You did a sin. And a sin is a sin. You've done something wrong. Something that is unredeemable. Right? Maybe from now on you won't do it, but how do you redeem the past? How is it possible that God will accept your tshuva? What could you do to change things? But that is the mystery of God's own oneness. And that's why at the end of Yom Kippur, what do we say? Hashem hu Elohim. Who is the judge? It's Yudke Vavke, the compassionate one. And therefore, even though we don't deserve it, we are able to come out of Yom Kippur pure and forgiven. Because God is the compassionate one. So, over here, we have these allusions to this name. God is telling Moshe, go and tell them Yudke Vavke sent you. However, this is my name to be concealed, meaning you cannot vocalize that name, not in this world. I'll tell you how to say it. But that's what's really going on over here. That's what's really going on over here. You're being redeemed, not in the merit of yourself. You're being redeemed in the merit of God's own oneness. That Hashem hu Elohim. That Yudke Vavke is the divine. And that right now there is no merit for your redemption. But that itself is the greatest expression of God's own oneness. That you can be redeemed even without any merit whatsoever. Okay? So this is what's happening in the whole story of the redemption of Egypt. The Jewish people are unworthy. Moshe says he's unworthy. Moshe says the people are unworthy. The people are going to ask questions, who sent you? Because they recognize they're unworthy. Right? And this is an opportune moment in history for there to be a great manifestation of a light which is almost on the level of Olam Haba. That even though you're not worthy, on the level of Yom Kippur, Kohen Gadol, right, you will be redeemed. Right? You will, in fact, be redeemed. And this is the beginning of Shmot. The continuation is then meriting in the future that which they did not merit in the past. I realize it was very difficult, but I just see this so crucial in order to really understand the continuation of Shmot and how this is all part of that divine drama of oneness.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990 or in Jerusalem at country code 972-2-627-4890. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.